I wonder what we understand by authority. We talk of somebody being an authority in a specialism, and we understand authority as having somebody having the power and control over others. Or someone's given permission to act out something, take responsibility for something. And we see these examples of authority daily in our lives, and often as one is driving on the road at school leaving time, you are facing a figure of authority with the lollipop lady who stops you in order in your car in order for the children and the parents to cross the road. That lollipop lady has been given authority to control my movements at that moment. The centurion, a Gentile who was posted to by Rome into this the colony in Galilee, he had a servant who was very sick, and the centurion really cared for this servant, and he was well known in the Jewish community because he had supported the building of their synagogue, and the Jewish leaders went and sought out Jesus on his behalf. And they said of this centurion, he is worthy for Jesus to come to him. And it's interesting in this passage how the centurion just reflects that he is not worthy. He does not need Jesus to come to him. He knew his place, not to impose on Jesus. But it's a fascinating insight, this story about the importance that Luke, the writer of this gospel, places upon Gentiles, non-Jews, in God's kingdom. And how, as he was writing for those particular believers, he was stressing the value of the place that non-Jews have in the kingdom of God. So our centurion recognized Jesus' authority. He must have heard stories about him. He perhaps had seen him in speaking to the crowds. And he knew and he could see the authority that Jesus was exercising. Partly because he himself, as he says, was a man under authority and exercising authority on others. And it's interesting, he says, just speak. He says, through the messengers who had gone on his behalf, only speak, he said, because he expected obedience of Jesus' words. Obedience in the sense of healing, in the sense perhaps of some possession that was within the man, we do not know. But it's the power of Jesus' words over creation, over sickness, over health and healing. As well as acknowledging Jesus' authority, our centurion made a bold confession of faith. And he knew that even at a distance, Jesus could bring healing upon his servant. There was no need for direct touch. And I'd like you to hold on to that, because that is, after all, where we are today in our relationship with Jesus. And Jesus marveled. He was amazed by such faith in this Gentile pagan. And it's interesting that Jesus makes a comparison elsewhere with the Jews, who he was amazed just showed no faith. When Jesus was in his hometowns, he could not heal because there was no faith shown by those to whom he was speaking. So Jesus says through the messengers for the centurion, go, let it be done for you according to your faith. And we know, don't we, that Jesus has authority on earth. He has authority on earth to forgive sins, to bring healing, to bring reconciliation, and to transform lives. Now, in our epistle this morning in Galatians, Paul also recognized Jesus' authority. He himself had come face to face with Jesus on the Damascus Road. And he had switched his authority from the Jews, and he had been, as we will be reading in later on in Galatians, he was a student of all that the Jews had to teach. And Paul switched his authority from the Jews to Jesus. And he received directly from Jesus good news in that vision that he received on the Damascus Road. And in this letter to the Galatians, Paul is emphasizing his sending out by Jesus directly, his apostleship, which is what sending out comes from. The apostles were sent out with the good news, and indeed Paul here was added to the body of the apostles to spread the good news to the Gentiles. And in this letter, it's a wealth of teaching about Jesus in these few words. He confirms the deity of Christ and equality of Christ with the Father. He emphasizes in several places that the gospel and his did not come from human authority, and he was not sent from by human authority to for his discipleship amongst the Gentiles. And he ultimately recognizes that salvation comes through Jesus' God-given authority. So there is this hierarchy of authority that Paul is emphasizing for us here. And he's emphasizing the authority of the gospel. What had happened was that Paul had recognized, had so given the gospel to the Galatians, but he recognizes that there was a certain party called Judaizers who were insisting that for the new Christians to be truly part of the church, they had to adopt Jewish customs. And Paul is saying, no, that's a complete perversion of the truth of the gospel. And he said that we do not need to follow the legalistic rites of the law. In this case, they were demanding that the new Christians should be circumcised so that they also became Jews. As Ken in his reading emphasized, how would the Galatians respond? Later on, it gets even worse. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" And he shows amazement at their rapid desertion from the true gospel. Interesting, it's the same word Jesus used in his recognizing of the faith of the centurion. So something truly moving in Paul's case here, deep sorrow that the true gospel had been perverted and was being rejected by the Galatians. And Paul emphasizes that the gospel comes from God's authority. And he says, I'm not seeking man's approval in what I do. I'm only seeking God's approval. And this letter goes on to, and is often called Luther's letter, because it sets the scene for the rejection of those things which were seen by the reformers as perverting the true gospel. And they were placing tradition over scripture, works over faith, merit over grace. And in this gospel, Paul is emphasizing that it is by God's grace, by faith in God alone, that we are justified and receive salvation. So where do we stand in our understanding the authority of the word today? The word, of course, comes in the two forms, as I'm sure you have followed with me. The word is Jesus. So the authority of the word is represented in Jesus himself. He has, as Matthew writes for the Great Commission, Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. And he has given us the authority as his disciples to exhort and reprove and teach through the authority of the written word. And while Jesus is no longer present with us in body, he is ever present with us in the spirit. And I suggested you hold on to that interesting point that the centurion recognized Jesus didn't have to be present with the servant to heal him. And of course, we too have Jesus present with us by his Spirit, although he is not with us in body. And we receive the same opportunities for healing, for wholeness, through Jesus' authority, as did those who he healed when he was on this earth in his body. And I believe that that promise to heal is a reality today, whether it's physical, emotional, mental. It might not come in the way we expect, but we need to hold on to the healing that Jesus offers. As James writes in his letter, "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord." And I wonder whether we don't respond to the authority of the word because we think, well, those are things that were for the first generation Christians. I wonder whether we, in our way, are not holding on to the true gospel. And sometimes do we distort the gospel for our own ends by quoting bits that reinforce our view rather than taking a wider view that others hold? Do we only read the uplifting pieces of scripture and ignore the challenging sections that help us to look at ourselves and see how we are and hold that mirror up to see how God sees us? So we need to be true to it and allow it to judge where we are living in our lives today and how relevant is that word to us and our world. And I believe that the Bible is life-changing if we allow it to speak deeply into our hearts. There are, of course, sections of it that we know and love that have formed the basis of our society, but sadly, our society is ignoring things like the Ten Commandments at our peril. Frequently in the New Testament, the writers speak of how we can be transformed by God's word. And we ignore that at the peril of our own salvation. And if we ignore the power of the Spirit in our lives, we ignore that at the peril of living fulfilled lives for God. You know the words, I'm sure, from 2 Timothy. All scripture is inspired by God, is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So how do we read God's word? And I would encourage you, if you don't already, perhaps to look at some of the daily notes that are available. If you're living in the electronic world, then as I do, I get the daily notes from Scripture Union. It comes as a daily email, which is a wonderful early morning reminder for me to read God's word. You may use a booklet of notes, and there are various ones. There's Bible Reading Fellowship, there's Scripture Union, and others. And if you do, then perhaps you might like to share your experiences, and we might perhaps put a table up of some examples of daily notes and how they have helped some of us. And if anybody would like, on an occasion, to share what it has meant for you to read God's word daily, then that would be a great encouragement to us all to hear. Other ways in which we can learn about the authority of the gospel are through courses. And what I'm proposing in the autumn is to run a course called Pilgrim, which explores the Christian faith, draws people together wherever they are in their life journey as pilgrims, from mature Christians to those who are just seeking the way. And it's a wonderful way of exploring the key texts that have formed the base of faith in Christians over the generations. So, a challenge to all of us is, do we recognize and respond to the authority of the word? Whether that word is the written word, or whether that word is Jesus Christ. And so I encourage us to help one another in what we do. And I also encourage us to seek God's approval in what we do by living out the true gospel. Let us pray. Lord, that we might indeed read your word and respond to it in a way that allows you to change us, transform us, and make us the people who you want us to be as your disciples in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.